City Church, is this not a day to celebrate? So glad that you guys are here. And really today, it is all about being excited and celebrating what God has done in people's lives. So don't feel like you need to hold back. Normally on a day like today, I'd be wearing shorts and pretty casual if it wasn't for the weather outside. We want you to feel at home and able to just celebrate here today. But when you celebrate God's goodness, sometimes the stories get messy. Sometimes before we experience joy and redemption, there's a little bit of a road to travel that's not so easy. And one of the people who knew about this journey was a king by the name of David. David's life got off all sorts of tracks, but at the beginning, at the core of it, was a heart for God. And I want you guys to hear this morning from Psalm 103 what David wrote about God. He says this. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
"Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." A few people resonating with that here today? "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins desire or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. And as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Friends, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts. You, his servants who do his will, praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Friends, this is the work that God does in people's lives, and this morning you have the opportunity along with me to hear the stories of some of them. Please take a look at the screen.
My name is Linda Morgan. I guess if I had to tell you the important parts of my life, it would be that I have 6 children and 22 grandchildren. And my children are all walking with God. And I think that's the most important thing to me right now. In a piano and organ world, can I just say it like that? I love piano. My children, all of them, learned to play the piano. And I was so fearful of my 6 children stepping out of that world and going anyplace else. And one of my daughters did. She and her husband were ministering in a church in Texas, and it was contemporary worship. And I was felt betrayed that she had stepped out of her roots. It was shortly after that she had leukemia. Let me tell you about the night before she died. The people from that church surrounded her home. And my husband was there. I was ill. I couldn't go. They pulled my son-in-law opened up all the curtains and the doors, and those people sang to my daughter and prayed for her and prayed God would take her. Pain brought me to giving up my preconceived ideas of God and also seeing God working in the lives of other people in other ministries and finding out, wait a minute, you know what? We are serving Christ. They're doing it in a different way, but they love God. I've had friends who met me during that time, and they look at me now and they say, Linda, you are not the same person. I just look at people and love them and can move into their lives, whether they're Christ followers or whether they're not, and say, I want you part of my life. I want you here with me.
I'd love to introduce you to my friend Linda Morgan. I've had the privilege of Linda getting to know you over the last few months, and just you sharing your story with me has thoroughly blessed my life. Thank you for sharing it this morning. Linda, would you mind telling us, how long ago did your daughter Melissa pass away?
She died 20 years ago this year.
Wow. And now, as I can only imagine, the years following must have been rough. What were those first 5 to 10 years like for you?
They were rough because my husband and I were in the conference center ministry and we loved it, but he became very ill and he was dismissed from his job. And so we left that, we were separated from that, and he just didn't thrive after that. He just had open heart surgery, and he died about 3 months later. Uh-huh. And that was followed by my mother dying 3 weeks later after that. Wow. So the first 5 or 10 years were tough. In fact, my children would tell you that I was just this side of crazy.
I don't think anyone could fault you for that, given all those things. Yeah, you mentioned in the video just that pain was what God used, and hearing that, there was no shortage of pain during that time. What, though, did you start to see change after those first 10 years?
Well, I call myself a converted Pharisee, or I looked at people from the outside in, and I would, I was really shackled by the belief system that I was in. And when I came to Sunrise about 10 years later, God just started opening my heart. And he brought me so much joy. And he used the tools that were here at Sunrise to make that difference. I went through grief share, which was extremely important for me at the time, to just be healed. I had packed away Melissa's grief because I had so much on my plate to deal with. In addition, now as a widow, I needed to provide for myself. I needed to find my way in my new world. I moved here, of course, to Sacramento. But through grief share, I did a lot of healing. I also went through the training for chaplaincy with the law enforcement, Sacramento Law Enforcement Chaplaincy Program, and that opened up my world and gave me more tools to help me.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing just some, you have something that comes to mind that you learned during that time?
Yes. I learned to move into people's lives when they were in crisis. And I had been in crisis. And I was able to learn the tools to just give to them during their time of need, which also ministered to me.
Yeah.
And then I joined the mentoring program here at church and started mentoring women. But the training that came with that equipped me to do for others what I also needed to do myself. Does that make sense? And so all of that together just took me into a new world. And you know what was really uncommon to me?
No.
Was the transparency of the pastorate. Pastor Rich would get up here and he'd say the most things about himself. And I'd say, oh my goodness, I've never heard a pastor say something like that before. So as I realized that you could relax and just let people know who you are, because the 10 years previous, I had put a pretty thick wall around myself. I didn't let very many people in.
Yeah, so the last 20 years for you, Linda, have really been a journey of healing, a journey of being able to love others, that really a journey out of legalism in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely.
And now you've arrived.
No.
Okay. No, I say that kind of jokingly because I think for many of us, the thought is, well, 20 years, that's enough time. But really, God continues to do his work, does he not?
Well, it's pretty... This is hard for me, folks. I am not given to vulnerability and transparency. This is a tough one. But it's good for me, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yes, learning constantly.
Yeah. Now, kind of an amazing thing happened in the last month, and I'm going to let you tell the story, but this video that we shot about a month ago.
Yes.
And then why don't you tell us what happened since then?
Well, I flew to the little town of Worthington, Minnesota, a little farm town, to take care of my grandchildren while my son and daughter-in-law traveled to Israel. He's a pastor at Lakeside Community Church there in Worthington. And while I was there, I got a text from my daughter. And here I am in this little farm town. And she's in Israel. And I get a text from her, and she said, what was the church, the name of the church where Melissa, where she died? You know, where she was when she died, and her husband was on pastor staff there. I didn't know, but I found out. And I said, it was North Highlands Bible Church of Dallas. She said, Mom, we are touring with the pastor of North Highlands Bible Church of Dallas. And a lot of his church people make up our tour group. And there's a couple here that was at Melissa's house the night before she died and sang to her and prayed for her and asked God to take her home out of her body of pain. Oh, and Mom, the pastor that's at North Highlands Bible Church used to pastor in Worthington at the church where Wes is pastoring now. Yeah. And then a couple days later, my son-in-law called me. We did FaceTime from Israel. And he said, Mom, Melissa and I have been talking, and we would like to get the money together to send you and Melissa back to Dallas. And I said, I don't think so. Way too much pain in Dallas. He said, think about it. God has brought you so far, and he's done so much in your life. But there may be some more work for God to do.
Wow. So here we are, 20 years later. And I remember you coming into my office and wanting to talk this through a little bit because this wasn't an easy invitation. But you've said yes to taking the step of faith to going back to Texas. And where are you going to be on the 20th anniversary of your daughter's death?
The 20th anniversary of Melissa's death is on a Sunday. And when I saw that on the calendar, I said, I give up. I will be there. And I'm going to worship with those people. And I'm going to raise my hands to God. And I'm going to be there.
And who are you going with?
Well, that is open right now, but I know Katie said she would go with me. You don't know what God's going to do.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Linda, we want to pray for your upcoming trip. We want to pray for the continued work that God is doing in your life. How can we pray for that trip? What would you hope to see God do during that time?
Last night I did a three-way with my son and daughter-in-law, daughter and son-in-law, and I asked him, why did you suggest I go to Dallas? And he said, because every time we talk about the dying of Melissa, you always mention the conflict that you had with your son-in-law. And I felt that you need to return to Dallas, and maybe you would be open to giving up your bitterness. I've called those painful memories. But my dear son-in-law, who I love absolutely, and he loves me, I know he was speaking truth. And I said, okay, I will deal with that. And so you can pray for me that as I pull, as my friend Nancy says, one little weed after another of memories of pain, that I will give them up completely to God. He said, you know, the Lord may give you 20 more years. You don't want to carry that around for 20 more years. So, yes.
God's at work.
Yes.
Friends, do you see Jesus in this woman's life?
Yes.
Linda, I am proud of your bravery. I am proud of your faithfulness and also your humility. As you said, it's come through pain. God has rocked your world and broken it to put it back together and build it into something it couldn't have been otherwise. And we as a church stand behind you as you go and walk by faith going to Texas. And we want to pray for you right now. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, thank you for the work that you are doing in Linda Morgan's life. There is pain there that we wouldn't wish upon anybody. And yet, God, in your goodness, you are redeeming that pain. God, you are doing a work here that we can only see just a fraction of what it is. So God, we pray for your hand upon Linda as you show her the path forward and also help her journey back into just re-engaging the loss of her daughter, Melissa. Lord, may you meet with her there, not just on that Sunday morning in that church in Texas, but through that whole trip and through the weeks leading up to it and the weeks afterwards as well. God, we thank you that this is your story and that you're not done yet. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing today? While I was hiding in the back there, I was getting texts from people saying, There are a lot of people standing. So maybe right here at this moment would be a perfect opportunity. If you have empty seats at your table, would you raise your hand? And maybe some of those people that are standing in the back might be able to find a place. See, there are lots of seats. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand there. What an amazing morning to get together and to celebrate the things that God is doing. And we are gathered here today not just to celebrate testimony. And can I just praise God for Linda Morgan? And I have to say it's a privilege as one of the pastors here for the last year to have watched Linda walk through this journey and to see how God is working in her life. And so praise God for her. We're going to continue, obviously, celebrating this morning through baptisms right now. And if you are a family, if you are friends and family with one of the people who is getting baptized today, we have a tradition here at Sunrise, and that is right down here in the front right side of the stage there, you'll see a candle that's lit. And this morning, we are baptizing either three or four people here this morning. And then there's going to be an empty candle there. And we'd ask the family, you can light one of those candles there. And there will be an empty candle there at the end that signifies the next person who is going to be baptized, whoever that might be, if God's leading and prompting in you to follow that obedience of God through baptism as a follower of Christ, to invite you to be a part of that. And so at this time, I'd like to invite into the baptistry to join me. This is Stephanie Estrada. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephanie, what brings you here? Why do you want to get baptized today?
To me, it's the confirmation of me following Jesus and, you know, just being the example to set for my children and just, you know, washing my sins away and having the Holy Spirit fill my heart.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that so good? Here, come on over here on this side, okay. Stephanie. We're going to, Stephanie, do you, here, why don't you come on down over here? We're going to do this. You ready?
Okay, yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he raised again on the third day, and that he resurrected into heaven so that you will be able to live in eternity with him?
Yes, hallelujah,
amen.
Yes.
All right, Stephanie, turn this direction. And Stephanie, upon your confession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But wait, there's more. Sarah Kozich is here this morning. And Sarah, this is special for me because I had the privilege of being your youth pastor, and have seen you growing and just maturing into a young woman that absolutely loves Jesus Christ and follows her wholeheartedly. And I see your family. Come on up here, Kozich family, making their way up here. Sarah, why are you here this morning to be baptized?
Because I want to follow Scripture's command to be baptized.
Pretty simple, right? It's right there in the book of Acts. And Paul just says, repent, be baptized. And I tell you, Sarah is one that truly loves Jesus. And that's evident. So Sarah, come on over here on this side. Sarah, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God, that he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross and was raised again for your sins, and because of his resurrection, in ascension, that you too will live with him in eternity?
I do.
And that's an amazing affirmation. So Sarah, because of your confession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Isabel, come on down. This is Isabel Ryan. And, you can stand up here. Anybody have any family? There they are. They're coming up here. We'll give them a second. Isabel, why are you here to be baptized? You here, why don't you just jump right up there if you can. They can see it. There we go. You're so tall. Isabel, why are you here to be baptized this morning? Simply put, right? All right, Isabel, come right over here. Isabel, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God in human form, that he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, and that he was raised again, all of this for your sins, and because of his resurrection and ascension, that you get to live with him in eternity?
Yes.
And because of your confession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And there's always room for more. In fact, I would challenge you, maybe even the water's still warm up here. and we have extra towels. So if someone, for some reason, you sense that God's saying, I am a follower of Christ, but I have never followed him in baptism, maybe this morning is that time. Seriously, I'm not joking. We have extra towels up here. And would love to have you come up and be a part of that. And we can do that in just a few minutes here. But as we continue on in the service, something that I've really been looking forward to. There is a man that's become a part of this family over the last several months. And it started on a Sunday night here this winter. And God has attached him to our church family, and God has done a miraculous work in his life. And so he is going to be our next story. And so would you look to the screens, and let's tell you a little bit about Noah Davis.
My name's Noah Davis, and I'm married to my wife, Diana, 22 years. We have two children together, Zachariah and Cameron Davis, whom I haven't seen for over a year. February 3rd of this year, I found myself being rushed to the hospital, Kaiser Roseville, where I had suffered a heart failure and a stroke, which was caused from a DVT in my right leg. After spending 8 days at the hospital in Roseville, I found myself displaced. I was at the shelter down in Sacramento on E Street. And on February 19th, I walked into the doors here at Sunrise Community, and I was cold. I remember I was hungry and just heartbroken. I felt I had lost control of my life. February 24th, I remember exactly. Casey and Lindsay had brought me to church as they normally do. Something about the sermon that day, I don't know what it was, but it got me thinking about my children. And I believe it's exactly the week before Sunday service that I was praying that God would just reunite me with my children, you know, and service was over and I hear Dad. And my heart stopped. Turned around, it was Zachariah, it was my son. And at the same time, we're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't know, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And it's church. And he said, Dad, do you come here? Is this your church? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I had no idea. And at that split second, I knew my prayers were answered. I had asked God many prayers to reunite me with my children. God had placed my son Zachariah on the exact same pew as me on opposite ends. There's just no doubt in my mind, this is just truly a miracle. It was just so on cue. You know, the following week, I just couldn't believe it. Sunday, hearing Dad. Since then, we've rekindled our relationship, me and Cameron and Zachariah. Just the other night, we went to see the new Avengers movie and had a wonderful time. I can tell you that my life has just changed immensely from the time that I was in the hospital to now. I just thank God for everything he's done in my life and reuniting me with my children and just everything he's done so far. It's been amazing, truly amazing.
Sunrise, this is my friend Noah Davis.
Hi.
And Noah and I were joking about this beforehand. When you filmed the video, got a little nervous maybe?
I was like a deer in the headlights. I was like...
Now that's worth saying because you're normally just a really jovial person, right?
No problem. I get in front of people, I'm a ham. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's just my personality.
I'm going to sit down and let you take it from here.
Okay, thanks for coming, y'all.
No, but you're normally just... comfortable up in front of people. In fact, tell us about what you did recently.
Well, recently, a lot of you may or may not know, but I got the privilege of going down to the 2019 Voice Edition. And
now, The Voice is a TV show on television with singers.
With Blake Shelton. Yeah, yeah. It's a great show. I like it. But
so what happened?
Well, I actually got picked and went to the second round. So I came this close to going to the live shows. But
how close?
That close. Like, it was down to me and this other guy, and of course the other guy got picked. But hey, I'm gonna go back next time and try again. Try and try again.
That's pretty awesome. So we'll look forward to hearing about that when that comes back around.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you said in the video that your life has changed a lot in the last 3 months.
Amazingly.
And you gave us a little glimpse of that, but like, for life to change, there kind of has to be a then and a now. What was some of the then and some of the now?
Well, I call it ups and lows, downs and lows, downs and highs. Let's see. I had failed my wife, Diana. My children, Zachariah and Cameron. And even my daughter-in-law, Ashley. I failed them all. And when I walked into the church on February 19th, it was a Monday night, I was greeted by the most beautiful people here at this church, and they were smiling, and for that whole week, I was just blessed. I mean, God just blessed me so much, and I'm just so thankful, so thankful.
So for those that didn't catch it, Noah was here in a week in February where this church was hosting an event we do each year called Sanctuary at Sunrise. And you mentioned in the video that you'd been displaced. You didn't have a home. And so Noah was staying here as one of the guests among 100 other homeless guests that were here for the week and that you guys served and fed. And,
right.
And so fair to say that you're walking through these doors not at a high point.
Not at a high point at all. No, it was like one of the lowest parts of my life, and I'm telling you that I was treated with respect and just so kind. And matter of fact, some of you I've gotten to know and be some of my best friends right now, including Casey McKeon.
Yeah.
So, Casey, George, all those people, they're just fantastic. So
yeah, so tell us, you mentioned Casey, what specifically, how did you guys meet? How did that connection happen?
Well, Casey, he just kind of stumbled up to the table and just kind of a goof, actually. He was really funny. but we kind of got to know each other, and we kind of had similar things going on, you know, in his past life and my life. And we just, you know, automatically just clicked. And so we just kind of got to know each other. And since then, he's actually been taking me back and forth to my cardiovascular surgeon and my cardiologist and all my doctor's appointments and everything. He's been a true friend, actually an angel. I'm telling you, without him, I wouldn't be where I'm at today without Casey. So I really appreciate Casey very much. So and give it up for Casey.
Instead of just talking about this true friend, what do you guys say we just bring him up here too?
Casey? Come on up, Casey. Come on, Casey. Don't be shy.
So this is Casey McKean. And Casey, come on up here. We want to hear your story too. So we're talking just 3 months ago. You come into this room. You meet this guy.
Sleeping bag and all.
Get over to this side. You can just take it.
You bet. Love you. You, bud.
Thank you.
So we're starting to see the story come together, these two crossing paths. But Casey, you've got a story of your own. Like, how could you relate to this guy?
Oh yeah, I've you know.
Is that on?
Turn your mic on.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Thanks. And
that one's got a light on it.
This one. Right here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Turn a little bit so they can all see.
Yeah. Anyways, I definitely, man, I can relate with Noah and the struggles you know life has to offer us when we're not with Jesus. You know, and I had a long time addiction problem growing up from a young kid until I was an adult. And really to sum it up, you know, I was living without Jesus. And I remember on November 1st, 2001, I was so desperate, man. My life, I was done. I mean, I was so done. And I just prayed. First time I prayed, I just asked God to come into help me out. Come in and help me out. I can't do it. And the next day, I was arrested. And I went to jail. And I got a program of recovery through jail. And that's where my life began, without the use of drugs. But before that, I've been through loaves and fishes. So I relate with those people there. I know what's going on with a lot of us that do go through there. And so when Noah came in, you know, I like Noah because he was out there. You know, he was like, hey, man, let's, you know, I'm going to go up here and sing on a stage. And Noah was extremely reachable, you know. And this was an opportunity for myself and my wife, Lindsay, where we could reach out and we could be helpful in the name of Jesus, you know. Yeah. And
thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah. And so I want to say, but it's been fairly simple reaching out to Noah. You know, it's been simple, man. And you go there, this guy, he's got all his paperwork in order, you know, we're going there. I get there, and he just kind of takes over the show, and I'm just driving. Let's go. You know what I mean? So it's been really easy. Noah's his heart's there. He's got Jesus in his heart, you know, and I know Noah's got a great future. I know that in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
2001, you talk to God, he puts you in jail.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
When your life starts to change, you start getting on a new path. When did you come to know Jesus?
Well, now that was my first initial prayer, you know, and that's something I'll never forget. Because there was a lot of action behind it where my life began to change. But April 21st, 2016, I was, you know, I was really connected with Greg a lot during that time, and I was becoming a member of the church. And he goes, hey, you know, we're going to have the men's conference. Why don't you come to that? And, you know, I don't know if any of my Paul family friends are here, but they were super influencing me. And I went there, and I remember going down on the stage there, and Josh McDowell was there that weekend, and I asked God into my life that weekend.
Awesome.
So, histories of homelessness, of drugs, struggle, family issues, but 2001... God responds to a prayer. 2016, God gets a hold of your life. Yeah. And then just 3 months ago, entering into Noah's life. What is the hope for you guys moving forward? I mean, the joy of Jesus is in you. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from each of you. Yeah, just what is your prayer moving forward?
Go ahead, Jason.
You know, my prayer moving forward, you know, because me and my wife were still newlyweds. You know, we've been married 3 years, and we always ask God to come in our life and to direct us in the right way, you know. But concerning me and Noah, you know, I want to say that I hope we remain friends, you know, and we stay on the path with Jesus, man. We always got to let in Jesus influence our lives. You know, we're not all perfect, and we have moments, you know, where we're just people, you know. But we got to have Jesus in there, you know, to get us through to the next you know, time when we're just people again. We got to have that influence of Jesus to get us through that.
Yeah. What about you, Noah?
Well, I want to continue to trust in God and work on my relationship with my family and just hopefully rekindle all that and move forward and live my destiny.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. And I'm proud to say that both my children, Zachariah and Cameron, are here today. So thank you so much.
Well, it's exciting having you guys here, and I'm just blessed by the humility. I know that when, you know, there's past hurts, they don't always just disappear, but we trust God in time to continue to bring healing and work and restore your family. And can we just pray together for Noah this morning? Father God, I just lift up my brother to you and just thank you for the work you've done in the last three months, and we just cling to the promise that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Jesus, this is your guy. And you're not just doing this to heal him, but you're doing this to heal him, to heal others, to be used in other people's lives, to be used for purposes that Noah hasn't seen yet. And so, God, may you go before him and walk with him. And may these two stories up on this stage just be one of hundreds that you continue to do in and through your people here at Sunrise Community Church. God, may we be surrendered to you in the work that you do. May we never write somebody off because they come across our path in a place that's less than desirable. But may we see them through your eyes, Father God, and love them with your love, and see the kind of transformation and miracles that are happening right here in front of us. And may you receive all the praise and glory for it, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.